Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
COVID-19 cases throughout the state have been on an upswing in the past few weeks. The Department of Public Health says the seven-day positive test rate has doubled in the last month. The number of people hospitalized is at levels we haven't seen since February. There's also a highly transmissible subvariant of Omicron spreading across the country. For a look at where we are in the pandemic and where we're heading, we're joined by Harvard epidemiologist Dr. Bill Hanage. Dr. Hanage, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Can you explain to us what are the driving forces behind the recent uptick and how worried should we be?
Major driving force behind what we're seeing now is the spread of this variant, BA.2.12.1, which seems to be pretty good at transmitting and also being able to sidestep a little bit of immunity. Alongside that, obviously, we have people mixing, you know, making contacts, giving the virus opportunities to transmit. And so what we're seeing is really entirely predictable.
Do we have a sense of how severe this variant is?
It doesn't seem to cause very much more severe disease than the other Omicron variants, which it's beginning to be pretty clear now, are less bad than Delta. But don't run away with the thought that that means that they're mild. In the context of no vaccination, then they can cause very serious surges. Just look at what's been happening in Hong Kong and parts of China. So these are pretty serious, but in a highly vaccinated community, they're much more able to be handled.
It sounds like this increase was something you expected, and it wasn't surprising.
Not terribly surprising. I should also note that the numbers of cases that we're seeing at the moment are far, far short of those that we saw in January. We are under-identifying them for sure because of the fact that people are doing rapid tests and they don't get counted in the same way. But we're still seeing far fewer infections than we have in previous Omicron waves, and we should bear that in mind.
As you know, many of the precautions that were in place are no longer required. Would you have them put back in place?
I think that it's a very good idea, if you do not want to get COVID in the next few weeks, to wear a mask indoors in public spaces and to avoid crowds. I think that's an extremely good idea. And I also think that we should put things like masks into use in places where, you know, everybody has to use them, places like public transport. We do have to bear in mind that though you were right, those hospitalizations are tracking up, a lot of them are what we call incidental. What that means is that people who are coming in who are infected with COVID, but they're not being hospitalized because of it, that reflects a lot of transmission in the community. It's also not something you can ignore because, you know, you need to do infection control, so it presents problems all of its own. But you have to bear these things in mind in terms of recognizing exactly what the public health threat is.
Are the people getting COVID now vaccinated and boosted, or are you seeing people getting sick who've had COVID before?
That happens. But the important thing to remember is that the people who are getting most sick are overwhelmingly skewed towards those people who have not been vaccinated. Vaccination provides extremely good protection. Vaccination and boosting, I should say. If you're older and you've not been boosted, I really recommend that you get a booster. And if you're being offered fourth doses, fourth shots, check with your doctor. But it's unlikely, very unlikely, that a vaccinated, boosted individual will become seriously ill with COVID right now.
Is this just going to happen again? Will we have waves of COVID from now on of different variants?
Whether or not it's different variants is not entirely clear, but we can expect there to be seasonality. We're going to see things get somewhat worse in the fall and winter. That's a pattern which is pretty clear. I also think we're going to see relatively little over the summer because that's another pattern which has emerged in the last few years. If you look nationally at the number of deaths that we are having per week, if you rolled that out over the entire year, that would be two really bad flu seasons. And that's now, when things are, relatively speaking, good. The thing is that I think most people don't think in terms of bad flu seasons. They just think about what's happening within their immediate environment. So from the public health perspective, yeah, we've got to remember that this is something we're going to be fighting with for a hell of a long time.
What else should people know?
People should remember that immunity is not equally distributed in the population. So, you know, a lot of people around me are having COVID right now. But those are people typically who didn't get COVID back in January. And so they don't have the additional dollop of immunity which comes from having been infected then. So, you know, if you're in a network in which nobody got BA1, you're sort of by definition in a network which is more fertile for BA2. People who are experiencing a lot of cases around them at the moment should reflect on that. People should also know that we have a number of effective therapies to an extent that we did not have at previous stages of the pandemic. So treat this thing with respect, but don't think that we are without the ability to make things a lot better.
You said earlier that this was entirely predictable. What did you mean by that?
I mean that to an epidemiologist, the idea that a virus will die out of its own accord and not evolve and not be able to, you know, work within the context of developing immunity is fairly ludicrous. We've been able to see these things coming from a long way off, and it's not terribly surprising. The difficulty, I think, for me speaking personally, is how hard it has been to communicate that, how hard it has been to get people to accept that this is the case, and how hard it has been to get folks to be able to do the things that they can do to help themselves and others.
For the lay people out there who are trying to understand when to mask and when they're done masking for a while, is there any kind of rule of thumb they can look at, like wastewater levels or number of cases, anything like that?
People have different levels of risk tolerance. I think that it's a good idea to wear masks indoors in public spaces, probably in general. I mean, I've made the comment before that I don't go to the grocery store to show off my face, so it doesn't seem like much cost to be wearing a mask. On the other hand, if I were to want to go to a party with friends, well, I wouldn't mask there. But there are also many reasons for masking. Right now, I'm avoiding some contacts that I would have made otherwise because I'm catching a flight next week, and I don't want to be unable to do that.
Harvard epidemiologist Dr. Bill Hanage, thank you so much for speaking with WBUR's Morning Edition.
Thanks for having me.